Now it is my pleasure to welcome artists from the Birdfoot Festival here at WTUL Studio to talk about their upcoming Ligeti Split mini concert, which has to be the greatest pun I've come across as far as classical music goes. So welcome.
Thank you so much, Joe. Mm-hmm. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Could you introduce yourselves to the listeners?
Sure. I'm Jenna Sherry, Artistic Director of the Birdfoot Festival.
And I'm Roy Feminella, and I'm a horn player and a guest this week at Birdfoot.
Jenna, since you're the Artistic Director and co-founder of Birdfoot, if you could tell listeners who maybe not have heard about Birdfoot, what's it all about?
Absolutely. So Birdfoot is an international chamber music festival with a New Orleans flavor. And we're coming into our sixth season, and we started with just having the festival, which happens at the end of every May. So it's coming up this May, sort of 18th of May to June 4th-ish. Now coming into the sixth season, we've started adding artist residencies as well during the year. And so this Ligeti Split mini festival, and I'm so glad you like the name, is one of these. It's my with three musicians, myself on violin and Roy on horn, and pianist Danny Driver, who will be familiar to many New Orleans audiences on piano. So we'll be doing two. The mini festival is comprised of two events: Birdfoot Backstage on Wednesday, February 15th, which will be 7 p.m. at the Cook Theater in Dillard University. And that is there's no admission for that concert. Then the next evening, Danny Driver in recital presented by Tulane University, 8 p.m. at Dixon Hall, and that's also a free admission concert.
Of all people to do a mini festival on, why Ligeti?
Well, I think Ligeti is particularly interesting to do in New Orleans because there's just such a vast range of cultures and influences that he drew on, and this being one of the most multicultural and diverse cities, it seems completely appropriate to do this piece here. I know with the horn trio, for every three influences you spot, there's about 12 that you missed. It's just, there's so much incorporated in it.
It's really a mosaic, incredible mosaic of a piece. Why Ligeti? I was chatting with Danny about that the other day, because we've actually been brewing this idea for quite a while. And it started, you know, probably about 4 or 5 years ago with a conversation about the horn trio. Oh, have you played it? Oh, have you played it? Oh, I'd love to play it. You know, and how all good things start. And Danny's been working, doing performances of the Ligeti's piano etudes recently, which he'll be doing on Thursday evening. And these works are actually very related. They were all written during the same period, sort of the early 80s by Ligeti. And they share, he sort of works through a lot of the same ideas in the horn trio and in these piano etudes. So there's a lot of ways that they sort of influence and cross-pollinate and reflect on each other. So when Danny told me he was scheduling this concert here at Tulane to play the etudes, and he had a few days in between that and the concert in Houston that was last weekend, we sort of said, okay, this is the moment, let's do it. So here we are.
That's incredible. So he had this piano concert here at Tulane first, and then you're like, let's do this horn trio.
Let's go for it.
That's
yep.
So cool. That sort of spontaneity that Birdfoot is famous for. Right?
Well, I mean, I say it as if it just came up like last week, but this is, you know, 12 months ago,
planning, yeah.
More even. I would even say this has been sort of, you know, 18 plus months in the planning stage. And the idea was also that we could use the residency, you know, to have a Birdfoot Backstage event and talk about, because I think, you know, both Danny and I love Ligeti's music for its wild humor it's sort of this extreme virtuosity, but also this elegance of construction and of references and this tapestry, this rich tapestry. And so we wanted to be able to take this apart, because what makes it great are these things that are just below the surface. I mean, it's great to listen to, but the more layers you peel back, the more you discover. So we really wanted to do a Birdfoot Backstage to talk about that and preview his recital as well.
Hmm. Roy, how did you how are you familiar with the horn trio? Like, have you performed it before?
This is the first time I'm doing it, so I'm really excited about that. It's quite a challenge in terms of horn part. It really Ligeti asked for the maximum possible in terms of what you can do on the horn. In terms of the range, it goes all the way up and down. So spent a good portion of the last month getting ready for this. So.
Wow.
But very excited to
be
here.
I think Roy's being very modest. I've heard it's one of the most difficult horn pieces ever. In the last movement, it's quite amusing. He might writes a little note to the performers. And of course, you know, this is my sort of humorous translation. But he basically writes, you know, please don't breathe. But if you really must breathe, do it imperceptibly. And then he gives the horn, you know, these incredibly long, long, low, low, low notes that just go on and on forever. And Roy is sounding amazing.
I did some research on the piece. And, you know, I know that he studied certain techniques and rhythms around this time when he was coming up with this piece of music. And maybe I could just play like a
little of the
beginning. Just a little bit of the first.
First movement first, just 30 seconds.
Yeah. That sounds good. Yeah, this is not Birdfoot performing, but I should say this is another recording. Okay, so what was just going on right there?
Well, this is the opening of the first movement, and it's a little bit crazy because if you hear at the very beginning, the violin comes in basically imitating the ways that horns, natural horns, would play in harmony. So there's a little bit of an in-joke there. Here's, you know, you've got a horn, but you give that stuff to the violin. You know, what the heck?
Interesting.
So, and then under that, the horn is doing something completely different. So the interesting thing is my rhythm, well, the violinist rhythm, is moving in divisions of four. And the horn is moving in divisions of three.
It's all triplets.
All triplets.
It's actually quite hard to put together because none of the beats line up ever.
So and then when the pianist comes in, they're in divisions of five. So we line up occasionally, but we're not really supposed to line up most of the time. So it's sort of like these ships in the night. You have this sense of sort of drifting, floating along, and both parts sort of with purpose, but the coming and going is somewhat coincidental.
So and it all is mathematically sound, though, because it all kind of divides and ends at the same place.
Yeah, wow. It sounds very free when you hear it just then, but he's extremely precise about where each of those harmonies change and the different rhythms that go on.
And so I'm assuming then for the Birdfoot backstage, for listeners who are not familiar, it's not just, this is the first time actually going to be doing a full performance at Birdfoot backstage.
That's correct. Yeah, we'll be sort of spending about 45 minutes discussing the piece and taking it apart and, you know, bringing the audience backstage, as it were, sort of into the way we approach music and think about it and what we love about it. And then we'll take an intermission and then perform the whole trio.
So this little breakdown is just like a little glimpse of what you can get from...
Absolutely, a sneak peek.
Sneak peek, excellent. So as far as the etudes... it has sort of a same feel to it, for lack of a better word.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that's coincidental because, I mean, the 80s for Ligeti were a very early 80s, particularly a very interesting time. About 4 years before that, he had finished his huge and incredible and absolutely insane opera, Le Grand Macabre, which if anybody has a chance to see, I highly recommend it. I just saw it recently and it blew my mind.
Yeah, it's been getting done a lot now around the world, I think.
So keep your eyes out, or, you know, there's YouTube or whatever your go-to. But then after that, this sort of took so much energy and was such a huge artistic output, he basically didn't write much for about 4 years. Or he didn't publish anything, he didn't finish anything. And he said that he kept constantly trying to start things, but he felt a bit stuck. And I find Ligeti fascinating for many reasons, but one is that he changed styles many times in his career, and many of your listeners may be familiar with Ligeti's music that appears in some of the Stanley Kubrick films, such as 2001: A Space Odyssey, The Atmosphere, or I think it's Eyes Wide Shut. But what's really fascinating is something, though the music in those is really nothing like this music, these etudes, or the, I mean, I'm sure you can sort of find common threads, but you know, on first listen, they really sound nothing alike. But at this period, Ligeti was sort of a bit stuck, and he was trying to find, you know, what does he write next? What is his next sort of musical expression? And as I understand it, he was teaching during this period and ended up getting exposed to a lot of music and new things through his students, and these were incredibly wide ranging. One of the big influences for him was a recording of African tribal music from the Democratic Republic of Congo, if I'm getting it right. And he was absolutely sort of gobsmacked by the polyrhythms and the complexity. And he sort of wrote about how what sound is like chaos on a minute level, but then actually sort of transcends into this, larger order. And he was really fascinated by this. So I think that we can blame that, him hearing that, for the hell we've been going through in rehearsing this piece. but that was just one of the influences.
Yeah, in the second movement, I have, well, I think the second movement has the most influences of these kind of rhythms, but there's a whole page of the horn part where I'm playing completely different, almost in a different time signature from everyone else, and by the time you get to the end of it, there's almost this little panic that you've landed up with, it's ended up with everyone.
Yeah. Great satisfaction when we are, in fact, in the same place.
It's the most satisfying bar to play in that piece when it comes together. At the
feels
end of that.
Great. Yeah.
So I was going to say this would be a good transition. So the residency started Thursday, right?
That's correct.
Roy, this is your first time in New Orleans, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
You're from New York. Is that where you were born? And that's where, I know you went to
Juilliard.
Yeah,
I grew up in Brooklyn and live there now.
Yeah. So what's been your experience of New Orleans since you got here?
Well, it's been great. I mean, obviously, we've been very busy with the festival, but I got to explore a little bit downtown and the French Quarter, and yeah, it's just
wonderful. You guys went to Coup de Vue, right, last night?
We did.
But while everyone else was reveling, you guys had to get back to work, because you had, in addition to the residency and the two performances, you also are involved in Young Artist Program.
That's correct. That was today. We from 11 a.m. until about 4:30 p.m., we were working with local students, as well as students from the North Shore, students from Baton Rouge, sort of between the ages of 12 and 18, who have several string quartets and duos and various other configurations of chamber ensembles, working with them, coaching them, helping them play chamber music and get into this music.
So exciting.
Not Ligeti, but...
This is more advanced studies.
That's next year. That's next year.
So I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
Well,
that
I realized
about.
I didn't... you had asked me sort of about the etudes, and I went into a bit of a diversion, perhaps prematurely for Wednesday, but I just thought I would, give... talk a little bit more about what Danny Driver is going to be playing on his recital on Thursday, because it's an absolutely incredible program, and... actually, a program like this is rare. The chance to hear a program like this is rare in any city. I think it's rare in New York. It's rare in London. It's rare. So it's quite a unique opportunity. And so he'll be doing books 1 and 2 of Ligeti's Etudes, which, as I mentioned, were written in a similar period to this horn trio. And the influences is everything from, he has one that's sort of imaginary Javanese gamelan. It's not, but it's sort of him... pretending, sort of like inventing a language, which apparently when he was a kid, Ligeti invented his own language and his own land with history and rules and government and his own sort of country. so he was quite a guy for these systems. So Danny will be playing two books of these, and some of the other ones. There's one called Vertige and one called Audub in Warsaw, which is sort of has political references, and one of the most famous ones is The Devil's Staircase, L'Escalier du Diable. And he's mixing these in with Debussy's Images, which are quite famous, Reflets dans l'eau, Reflections in the Water, or many people may have heard of the Bells Through the Leaves, the Cloche à travers les feuilles, which is really famous. And the really interesting thing is Danny was sort of showing us some of the order of his program, because he's really intermixing these. And suddenly the Ligeti sounded much older and the Debussy sounded incredibly modern. And there's something really extraordinary about this music. We think of Debussy as this sort of, you know, impressionistic, nice sort of, but actually it was really radical and very, very forward-looking for its day. And there's something very special, I think, about the combination. So I really encourage everyone to come out and That's wonderful. We'll be talking about the connections and a bit about these etudes as well on Birdfoot Backstage, not just the Horn Trio, but how these works intersect.
I want to thank you both so much for coming in, Roy and Jenna. It's been great having you, and I hope to see you again soon.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much, and really looking forward to seeing people at Ligeti Split.